Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENS FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
Joe, the Icon Power Hour Plus with Icon and his friends. And, you know, people have been emailing, you know, even gone lately, and you've talked a little bit about the injury that you suffered in the ring, but you've never been able to go into detail because of, you know, this, that, the other. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, we want people to tune into Icon Hour Power Plus because you are going to be the guest on that show, and it's going to be basically no holds barred for you, where you can actually, we're actually going to interview you, and we're going to talk about the injury, what led up to the injury, what happened before the injury, the event, all that stuff is going to be covered in an hour and 30 minutes time, and we're going to have you tell us about that.
All right, you know, that sounds like a good deal. It's been a struggle bus trying to hold things back. So, you know, tomorrow will be, like you said, an old bard. So stay tuned.
And, you know, the thing about that show compared to this show is, you know, we kind of have to keep a quorum about us. And, you know, we have to always be professional, you know. And basically on Tuesday's show, no holds barred, any language is used. You can describe anybody any way that you want. So so I cannot wait for that. Both myself, Big Swing, who is there, sir, are you there?
I am.
All right. And also the man that uses the Force, Luke DeMuse, also hosts that show. So everybody, if you want to hear Matthias go into detail about the injury and all this, tomorrow is the time to tune in because we're going to let Matthias go off the hook.
For a while. Like, I've been waiting for this for a while. Somebody who had suffered a knee injury, myself, not nearly to the level of his, but, you know, a sports-related, you know, knee injury. You know, I know that, you know, there's frustrations and there's things. I mean, I wasn't injured by somebody. It was a non-contact sort of thing, but I have been waiting. I mean, you've been telling me about this for a while, so I'm anxious to hear the full story behind it, and you know what's going to go in the future, what's moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a very strange, and I will go into graphic detail. Icon, you said language is allowed, that kind of thing.
It's no holds barred, man.
No holds barred. Okay, well,
yeah,
you know,
because
there might.
Well, because they're on FM tonight. Well, they're FM tonight. So I mean, there's different rules for FM on KENS FM and different things. But tomorrow night is strictly the internet podcast, and there's no FCC regulations on pure internet broadcasting. So I mean, you can say the most vile stuff, you know, known to man if you want to, and there's no law regulating it. So we won't get in trouble or anything.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent.
Yeah. And
okay.
And here's a couple other things that are going to be coming up on that show. After that, we will be having a break because I'll be taking care of some personal business, a thing I'm involved in. So there will be no Power Hour on the 19th. But on the 26th, the Icon goes off the hook and goes no holds barred against guys like Vince Russo, guys involved in some other things. And also, I cut loose on my old high school. And I cannot wait to cut loose on that. It's been weighing on my mind for, I don't know, let's see, maybe 20-plus years. So I'm going to cut loose on that. And then also the second.
35-plus probably?
Something like that. And on April 2nd, we're going to have Deb Gardner with us. And she's going to bring her twin sister, Bianca, with us. So that's going to be an interesting show, and she's got some interesting giveaways, and there's going to be a lot of adult chat for that one, so you don't want to miss that one. She's going to be giving away some cool goodies that we're not going to go into here, but it'll be interesting, so you want to tune in there, and we'll keep everybody posted as we go on there. And also, let's introduce my other buddy, my favorite independent director in history. He has everything at hand. Just ask for his last name. We have Scott Hand. How are you, sir?
All right. How are you?
Well, it's going good, man. What's new with you?
Not much, man. Just still working things out for the Black Tent and trying to get our other films into the festivals. How did you make out with the Fargo Film Festival?
It's next week.
Oh, okay. Well, you're getting ready for it, right?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, all next week, we will be, of course, having Attitude Era Monday Live Monday here next week. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I will be live at the Fargo Theater. And I will be working the Fargo Film Festival. And I will be hosting one of the sessions that will be Thursday morning in Theater 2. So if you want to come out and say hi to the Icon, meet the Icon, if I can do autographs, I'll do all that. So just come and say hey. And also enjoy the rest of the film festival. It's going to be a fun week. There's going to be a lot of independent films, and it's basically up-and-coming directors, producers, writers, everything involved in this film festival, and I cannot wait to be part of that. And this will be my first year that I've been involved, and hopefully it's the start of many years to come. And eventually I'm thinking maybe we can try and get one of Scott's films entered in the Fargo Film Festival. We'll work on that.
Yes, definitely.
And as everybody knows, let's kind of give a little update on some of the other stuff that's going on. My favorite college basketball team, the NDSU Bison Women, will be going for the Summit League Championship tomorrow against our arch rival, South Dakota State. So we wish them luck. That game's at 3:30 tomorrow. Check your local listings for when that'll be broadcast and how to listen. And also, I don't know if you heard this or not, Matthias, but the Vikings lost their quarterback today.
Yep, I was doing my circuit training, I took a little peek, and yeah, Cousins is gone.
Do you have an opinion on that? Yeah, do you guys have an opinion on that?
Well, I mean,
I'm happy he's gone, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, after what Case Keenum did for us before Kirk Cousins steps onto the field as our quarterback, I think he was overpaid for. In my opinion, I kind of wanted to keep Case myself, but unfortunately he went off to the Broncos and we got Kirk Cousins. Well, I think he did relatively well for us. Sucks to see him go, but now we just got to see who's going to step up and take the Vikings on next year.
Can I make a prediction on that?
I covered this, though, all day long on my sports show up here in New York, because obviously first day of free agency, that's the only thing anyone wants to talk about today. So I agree with Matthias in a way of, like, yeah, it sucks to see him go if you're a Vikings fan, but I get it in a way, because name me this, and this is what I said earlier when Vikings fans were calling in and things. Can you name me one big game or big scenario that Kirk Cousins has won you? I mean, he kept you. Huh? Oh, well, the Indianapolis.
When we were down by 33 points at halftime and won against Indianapolis, here's the deal. Kirk Cousins has been here for 6 years.
That was more of a collapse.
He's won one playoff game. That's not enough.
Exactly. I think that was more of a collapse on Indy's defense than it was necessarily Kirk Cousins. But you got to look at the bigger picture of the whole thing of, okay, you know, maybe it's a new era in Minnesota. Maybe you can get a Michael Penix or a J.J. McCarthy or, or maybe Justin Fields gets traded there or whatever. But you also got to look at your other players. You don't have a running back. You got rid of Madison as well. And you got Justin Jefferson, who's arguably the best receiver in the league, he's definitely top five, maybe top three, saying that he may not stay either, depending on the quarterback situation. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, these receivers want the ball. Ocho Cinco did it. Terrell Owens did it. You know, Des Bryant did it. All these guys, they want the ball. And if you're going to have an unproven rookie, or if you're going to get, like, the Raiders just signed Gardner Minshew, and he might be the starter. Oh, boy. Well, you think Devontae Adams is going to stay if they don't draft somebody or get somebody in there? No. I think that they have to make a splash. They have to go get Fields, or they have to make something happen where they can get one of these top guys, a Caleb Williams or a Drake May
because they're going to
be in full rebuild mode, and that's I don't think what you guys want.
Here's what's going to happen. The Vikings have a lot of draft picks at their disposal that they don't need right now, okay? Here's what's going to happen. They're going to use those draft picks. They're going to trade up. And here's what's going to happen. I do believe that the Vikings will draft and are interested in McCarthy from Michigan. I think he would fit well in the Viking system.
He would, but the thing is, Icon, is you don't have to necessarily use your draft capital and your collateral or whatever to go up and get him, because where the Vikings are sitting right now, I mean, I got it here in front of me because I'm still at the studio for my show here. The Vikings are at 11. If they really want McCarthy, they can get him at 11. You know, there's a lot of other teams that need other things, and everyone's either going to be trading up or trying to find to go get Williams, Daniels, or May. And it's really going to come down to, all right, well then, you know, who's that going to be? Is it McCarthy? Is it Nix? Is it whatever? Vikings are sitting pretty where they're at. Maybe move up one spot, you know, maybe two, but they don't have to shoot up to a top three to get that, if that's the guy that they want. Now, if they want the diva Caleb Williams, who had the Vikings on his team list for the teams that he would play for, except in teams that, you know, his whole nonsense that he's doing, then sure, if you want Caleb Williams, then do what the Rams did, invest your future, bait these picks, go get your guy, and be good with it. But if McCarthy's the guy you want, you can get him at 11. Because, I mean, some people are mocking him in the second round. So, you know, who knows? But for me, I know that I'm waiting as a Cowboy fan for tomorrow.
For a miracle?
For hopefully to get Derrick Henry. Because, you know, we just lost Tony Pollard to Tennessee. We lost our starting center to Washington and then a pass rusher. So we are – I'm waiting on – now we have no running backs. We have Rico Dowdle as our running back. Right? Like, I want Derrick Henry, or I want Aaron Jones, because I have seen – Aaron Jones torched us for the last four or five times we played them, just absolutely run over us because he's from Texas. We didn't draft him. He takes it out on us. Now, I know this is a sports show. Not a sports show necessarily.
We got a few seconds here before our next guest is up.
Just to mention this, Icon, I don't know if you heard this or not, but it's coming through my desk over here at the station that there is interest in Aaron Jones, the running back from Green Bay, going to Minnesota to potentially get his revenge after they cut him today, and he would get him twice. He'd be able to get it twice a year against Minnesota. So if you guys can get Jones, that would be a big grab for you in the run game as well.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens the next couple of weeks, but here's what we need to do. We need to take a quick little commercial timeout. We'll be back with our first guest.
Yeah,
we'll be back with our first guest. So stick with us after these messages. We'll be back with our first guest. Stay tuned. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. Woodspring's Pizza Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, an actress by no other name, but good golly, Miss Molly. She is Molly Baszler. How are you?
Hi. Hey there. This is Molly Baszler. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live, Mondays on 89.1, Ken's FM. Your hosts are the Icon with the Big Swing, also featuring Scott, the director, Hand, and the Modern Nightmare.
How are you, Molly? Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm good. I'm here in L.A. I'm sitting here. I got on your show a little early, and so I'm good. I'm good. I just left a dance rehearsal. We're dancing for the Irish St. Paddy's Day. I dance with a dance ensemble, so we're doing the jig for St. Paddy's Day.
Well, that's cool. Here's how we're going to do this, Molly. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable. Then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. We got Molly Baszler. We got about 30 minutes. But first, before we do that, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll have some fun with the interview. So go ahead.
Okay. So I am born and raised in L.A. I got into acting right out of high school. I was involved, I was on the rise to become a major player in Hollywood. I used to go to parties where George Clooney was. We were all these young, you know, up-and-comers. And so I worked a lot. I got SAG card right away. I was doing commercials and modeling. I was with Nina Blanchard. She was a hot modeling agent at the time, and I was dating the head of Paramount. And so I had this big, glamorous Hollywood life. But then I had some mishaps happen, and I really loved theater. There was that fine line of, yes, I wanted to be a movie, a celebrity versus an artist. But I took the artist route, and I studied Shakespeare. I went back to school, USC. I also got a little bit caught up in the whole alcohol and drug scene in Hollywood. That kind of I floundered because of that, but I went back to school. I was doing theater. I wrote plays. I was, I love theater. Moved up to San Francisco to do theater, but I always had an agent. I was always doing commercials. Had an agent. Yeah?
Molly Baszler, I guess, here. We got about 28 minutes left. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there is one thing. There's three cool projects that I want to talk about, and then we'll also talk about some of the stuff that you're talking about that you're into now, like the dancing thing. I want to get into that, but there is one project I do want to ask you about, and then we'll ask you about how it was you that actually taught Daniel LaRusso how to do the crane kick.
Oh, yeah, Daniel LaRusso, yes.
Yeah, you were in The Karate Kid. You were
yep.
in History of the World Part 1, and I'm going to play this little clip. I'm going to see if this if this sounds familiar to you. Tell me if it does. It'll work. Hold on a second. You were also an Unsolved Mystery. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. That was one of my favorite roles. I was the lead. I got to play a beauty queen, but then I got to play, it was because she gets shot by her boyfriend, which is interesting because I lived with a Hollywood starlet who was killed, shot by her boyfriend. And then several years later, I end up doing an Unsolved Mysteries. You know what I mean? How art depicts itself in your life. So it was very wild, but I love the Unsolved. We went to Houston to shoot it. We were on location for a week. So it was a good range from like beauty queen to then you know, being a handicapped, this woman then gets shot and becomes a paraplegic. So I got to play a woman, you know, in a wheelchair who has to overcome all these obstacles. Really an amazing story. And they never caught the guy.
So did you get to meet Elliot?
Pardon me?
Did you get to meet Elliot Ness, a.k.a. Robert Stack?
No. No. I wish I did. No, he wasn't on set. We were, you know, we were on set doing our thing, and he just, you know, he's just like the front man. He doesn't come on locations.
Well, I hate to say it, but there goes 30 pages of notes. Just like, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, but Molly,
I know, I was going to say, maybe I should just play along, like, yeah, he was there, we drank with him, we partied, we took jacuzzis.
Well, thinking of Robert Stack and his jacuzzi, it's not really a visual I need right now, but we have Molly Baker, I guess. We got about 25 minutes. I'm going to introduce you to my first co-host, and we'll go to my second, and we'll come back to me. Scott, the director hand, I know that he loves History of the World Part 1. So go ahead, Scott. What do you got?
I want to know, what was it like working with Mel Brooks?
Oh, my God. Well, he was one of the first people who hired me. I was like 18. He's the nicest guy. And he hires all his friends.
Uh-huh.
So Jay Burton was a friend of mine. You know, we were all these young actresses, and we were going to a restaurant in Beverly Hills called Nate and Al's, and I met Jay Burton, and Jay was an older guy. They were all these older guys, you know, trying to pick up young actresses, actually, and Jay became my friend, and he was a comedy writer for some of the big, at the time, I think he wrote for Sid Caesar. I mean, all these old-time comedians Jay Burton was part of, and he was very close to Diane Shore. And so Jay got me an interview with Mel at Fox Studios. I'll never forget that day. And I met Mel up in the office, and he hired me on the spot. I mean, it wasn't a big role, but I had just done a commercial for China, which now would be unheard of, right?
Yeah.
And I got my SAG card from History of the World. So it was really fun. And Mel was so nice. And like at the screening, it was just crazy. And he remembered my parents' name. I remember my mom was so impressed. But the funny thing is, so there was a joke, an ongoing joke, that on the set of History of the World or any of Mel's movies, you know, we'd all be at the concession line, and someone would turn to the fellow actor and go, oh, how did you get this job? Your agent? And they'd be like, oh, no, I'm Mel's dentist. And the other person would go, oh, how'd you get this job? Oh, I'm Mel's lawyer. How did you get this job? Oh, I knew Mel's best friend. So it's like that was the joke. He hired all his good friends. So it's like, unless you had like a starring role, of course, then. And then
So was your claim to fame, you're the one that picked out his shoes or something?
I kicked out his shoes?
Yeah, that's a joke. I'm sorry. Bad joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I don't understand that joke. What does it mean?
Well, you mentioned that he hired his friend, so I'm just wondering if that's what you said. Well, you know, he hired his friend, so I was just making a joke about you know, you're the one that picked out his wardrobe or something.
Oh, right. No. Go
ahead.
But no, he was just really nice. I mean, those were the days too that people. I don't know. It's different. Hollywood is very different now. In fact, I have an agent, and but I haven't gone out. I was going out a lot before the strike, and then the strike hit, and everything is very different. We don't go in anymore for auditions. Like, you used to meet the director or the casting agent, and now it's all this self-tape because of the pandemic and because the finances, everything is big money now, and people are cutting back. It's really sad because I know Hollywood where, you've got, you know, your friends. And I just, I was very blessed. I knew a lot of people in Hollywood. You know, I hung out with Robert Evans, Dick Donner, who, you know, directed Superman and The Omen and The Goonies. And so these guys were all my friends. I was in Lethal Weapon 2. Dick Donner put me in that. But what I do regret is asking for some really juicy roles. I always sort of held back on that, like, hey, put me in, you know, and really have a substantial role. And I knew Steve Shagan, who put, you know, introduced me to John Avildsen, who was, you know, directed The Karate Kid. And I did Karate Kid right when I was doing also the Unsolved Mysteries. But I just love acting. I love the camera. I love the stage. That's why I'm now dancing, because the strike, I wanted to perform. And so as a dancer, I can perform. I just want to perform and dance and wear costumes and, you know, look pretty and smile and dance around and get paid.
Molly Basil is our guest here. We've got about 20 minutes left here. Now, I'm going to introduce you to my next co-host. He's a wrestler of the group, and his name is Matthias, the Modern Nightmare. And I do believe that your role in The Karate Kid is the cheerleading coach, because Matthias has seen that movie over 150 times, and he did have a crush on you because of that role. So, Matthias, what do you got? Go ahead.
Well,
hey,
yes,
Matthias.
You are talking. Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight
Woo!
Champion and NSC World Tag Team Champion, and soon to be Rudo's promotion. And soon to be Rudo's promotion, all-weight champion and honorary member of the New World Order. Matthias, welcome on to my part of the program. My main question to you, because I've seen that you've worked with a lot of people and you've done a lot of things, but I'll just ask the generic first. What was the who would you say is one of your truest heroes throughout life that either, you know, kept you going to where you wanted to be, or that influenced you immediately to get into acting? Like, who's one of your main heroes?
And you can't say me, because that'd be too easy.
Well, I've had different heroes in different parts of my life. I mean, I think, you know, when I first started acting, I was just driven. I mean, I wasn't. And then I would have to say Bob Evans from Paramount was a substantial mentor. He sent me to acting school with Jeff Corey, and I got signed with Nina Blanchard. But he also wasn't a stable force in my life. So I would say then, you know, I had some great directors at USC. When I was studying theater, who guided me a lot. So, and that's when I was introduced to Shakespeare, which I love, like I said. And I'm still friends with one of my professors, and I'm actually writing a script with him, Louis Fantasia, and he's here in L.A. He's directing the play. So, and then, you know, my heroes, though, have varied throughout my career, you know. And then I sort of pulled back from acting for a while. And then I would say one of my biggest heroes is a guy named Alex, a documentary filmmaker, who saw me at an event and said, "You should be acting." And I said, "You're right." And I went back, I got back into it because I was in improv, and now I just love it. I'm writing, I'm dancing, I just think as an artist, as a performer, it's just in you to do it. And so right now my hero is this Alex, who, you know, I'm not very even close to, but he is the impetus. He's the one who said, you know, and it was like ignited that spark again where, and then I was doing all this, you know, wellness stuff and yoga. And I was always, though, trying to get a yoga show. I was always trying to get in front of a camera. I was always making videos and in a different way, right? But it was always about performance. I had a podcast. I was always, like, in front of people. And then I realized, you know, acting was really my calling and that I needed to get back into it. And my writing. I'm writing a piece called Mollywood about my – called Wide-Eyed in Babylon. And it's – I want to write – I do a one-woman show. It's a memoir. And it's all about my – trials and tribulations in the Hollywood scene, drugs and alcohol, sex, drugs and alcohol. I wrote a story called Sex, Drugs and Richard Simmons, Kissing George Hamilton, Dudley Moore. There's all these people peppered in. It's really fun, and it's going to be a fun frolic through Hollywood in the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. So.
Awesome. Molly Basil is our guest here. We got about 15 minutes here left, Molly. I want to concentrate now on the Mollywood. When did you plan on releasing that, and what is the timetable for that?
Well, I'm trying to get people interested right now. You know, I've been submitting it, trying to get some interest to publish it, then turn it into a one-woman show, then turn it into a film or a documentary of sorts or a series. I sort of see it as a, kind of Netflix series because there's all these wonderful Hollywood icons like Bob Evans and Richard Simmons and Dick Donner and people long gone who were such great filmmakers. I mean, Evans, you know, created Chinatown and The Godfather, and he sort of fell into hard times. He lost his edge as he got older, but still, these guys were great filmmakers. And so I'm trying right now to get that, you know, up and going. I mean, that is, you know, and I'm still writing some of the stories, but I'm as I create it, I'm still trying to get it sold and in production, published, and then in production.
So now, do you want to have the? You said you want to have this like either a movie or like a TV series type deal with all the different stories.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it as a series like on Netflix. Did you guys see the John Gotti? I love that.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah, where it's in a series showing different vignettes, introducing different people, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I love film, but some of these series now they're making are just awesome. I wouldn't mind to have Mollywood in something like that, pitch it to Netflix, because Netflix has huge money. They have huge budgets, and they can make whatever they want. I mean, it's the streaming now that they're becoming the studios, which is kind of sad, but it's just, like I said, it's a whole new way of doing things. And it's some people love it, some people don't, but it is what it is. So we've got to, you know, just change with the times as artists. But I do still love theater. I would love to do Mollywood as a one-woman show, which is, you know, happens. You make a one-woman show, and then people go, oh, my God, that would make a great, you know, documentary, and then turn it into a documentary. But I would like to have control over it, like what gets done. I would even like to possibly direct it. But to Hollywood now that a lot of people don't, I have no idea about. It's very different. Do you guys know Bob? You've heard of Robert Evans and those guys, right? And Dick Donner?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. Of course. Richard Donner, one
Absolutely.
Of my heroes, the Goonies, Superman, you know, and
yep.
Of course,
yeah.
Right? And then, you know, if you know, people that a lot of people that know this who are fans of Richard Donner know that Superman 2 would have been made a lot different if it would have been made the way that he wanted it instead of the way that the studio did it. That's why the best Superman is the Richard Donner director's cut, because Marlon Brando had a bigger role, and it would have been a lot better film.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, the Donna cut is way better.
Yeah, yeah. But Dick was, yeah, he was a great director, and he did The Omen. Remember The Omen? I love
yes.
that movie.
That's a good
the
one.
The original one was just incredible.
Well,
and
very scary thing.
But these guys, yeah, and Dick Donner was one of the nicest guys. He was so down to earth and so funny. I remember they called me, and they're like, "Hey, Molly, we're blowing up a house in Burbank for Lethal Weapon 1. You want to come?" This is so crazy. You know, they were blowing up a house for a scene. They're like, "You want to come watch?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure."
You know, my favorite Richard Donner film will always be, Goonies. However, one of my most popular Richard Donner films that, you know, it's well known, but it's kind of obscure, The Toy, was a great movie.
Another
I love that.
Oh, right.
Yep.
As a matter
That's
of fact, Scott Schwartz is a great friend of our show, and he's been on with us a couple times, and he told us all about making that film, being with Richard Pryor, and it was just he said it was just an awesome experience working with Richard Donner.
Wow, that's right. I forgot about that movie, and that's why Dick and I went to see Richard Pryor's concert. I just made that connection. It was right. It was probably right after he made The Toy.
Right, exactly.
So
Molly Basler's our guest here. We got about 9 minutes here left with Molly. So we don't forget this. If our fans want to check out and see you, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
I have a Instagram. It's Molly M. Basler. I don't have a personal TikTok. I have Instagram. I have a Facebook, Molly Marie Basler. And that's it. I will have a TikTok. I was just a little leery to have too many social medias until I have someone else who can, because I have found, you know, as a writer now, and I'm writing Mollywood and so forth, I don't have time to post like I used to. So, because I'm writing, but once I get, I think I'm going to create a TikTok called Mollywood, and I'm going to start reading excerpts of that piece on TikTok and start introducing it in little pieces to the public. So that will be coming up. In fact, I want to do that. They say, actually, writers to do reels on Instagram and TikTok to get audience interest.
Well, you know, here's one thing I want to put out here, Molly. And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, like that, go to 89.1 Kens FM page, like that on Facebook, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win a autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. And I do believe Molly was nice enough to send us a few, and we'll be doing that in our July giveaway show, and we do appreciate you on that. And one thing I would like to do, Molly, when you're ready to release Mollywood, whether it be a book or a play or a TV show, whatever it is, we would love to have you come back on with us, and we would love to help you promote that.
Oh, great. Okay.
And if you need ideas for a great director, I have one that's a good friend of mine as well.
Oh, okay.
And I believe he's listening right now.
That would be me.
Oh, okay. Which one?
And,
what? Okay. Yeah, no, I'm completely open for assistance, help, promoting it, getting people on board as a team, and creating something really interesting and fun and educational for people, and also the good and the bad of Hollywood. I kind of always like that story, the Playboy Mansion. you know, the whole world that was at that time, it was a crazy time, and lots of drugs and alcohol too. I don't know. You know, it's so funny because I'm, but I still hear that everybody's doing, you know, copious amounts of drugs and alcohol in Hollywood, but I'm just out of that loop now because I'm sober.
Well, would you be willing to hire somebody that would come and work for free and then get paid after it makes $1 million?
Sure.
That would be me. Just ask Scott there. I'm coming out to work on the Black Tent for hot dogs and a place to sleep on the set, so that's all I need.
That's right, he is.
Let's do it. Now, where are you guys located? In Washington?
No. We're
in New Jersey. I'm New Jersey.
Scott's in New Jersey. Big Swing is in New York. And Matthias and myself are in Fargo, North Dakota, where we have four seasons, winter, flood, road construction, and football.
I think it'd be cool to live in North Dakota.
It is, because I'm here.
Yeah, I love that whole, like, kind of, I don't know, that whole landscape. I spent time in Idaho on a ranch, and I've spent time in, where are the Badlands?
That's in South Dakota, and it's in North Dakota and South Dakota, out by Medora there.
Okay, yeah, we rounded up cattle. I went on this cattle journey. You know, they have these camps you can go and round up, you know, pretend you're a cowboy for a week or something. So it was in the Badlands. It was very cool.
As long as it's not like, what was that Yul Brynner movie? You guys help me out. You know what I'm talking about? Westwood or Westworld or whatever it is.
Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
Westworld.
Yeah, as long as it's not like that, I'm game. I'll come out and check that out. We have Molly Basler as our guest here. We got about 4 minutes here with Molly. You know, I'll tell you, Molly, you have been so wonderful, and I do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us, and you do not know how much we do appreciate you. And we do want to have you on again because we want to be the one that helps you promote your projects. Any project you have, we're here for you. Anytime you want us, we're here. And I will come work for you for a couple hot dogs and a place to sleep. That's it.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll get Mollywood up and running. It'll be fun.
And like I say, Matthias would be willing to work for you. Scott Hamm would be, but they require money. I require, the last project I worked on, I believe it, I earned 100, what did I earn? I earned 100 Chuck E. Cheese tokens for my contribution. So I was quite impressed with that. I melted them down and I made I made one big coin that says, "You're a sucker."
Chuck E. Cheese. I didn't even know still Chuck E. Cheese was around.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, it's a big party place here in Fargo.
Oh, it is.
They just don't have the animatronic things anymore. They took those out.
Okay. And is Fargo like the Fargo in the movie?
We do not talk like that. A lot of people from my hometown do not like that movie because the way that they spoke in that movie was grossly inaccurate.
Yeah, that was like Swedish they were speaking. Oh,
you know,
is
when they
Fargo,
say,
Minnesota?
Yeah, you betcha. That's not us. We don't talk like that.
Right, but was it Fargo, North Dakota, or Fargo, Minnesota?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, wow, that is true. I thought it was Minnesota because they do talk like that in Minnesota. So that's completely crazy. That's ludicrous that they did that.
I know, that's where they got it wrong. But I'll tell you what, the cool thing is, we got about a minute and a half here, the cool thing is about that movie Fargo, the log chipper is located here in Fargo. It's up at the Visitor Center, and they do have a statue of the officer from Fargo at the Fargo Theater, carved from one of the logs in the movie.
Oh, that's hysterical. Really?
Yes, that's true. And as a matter of fact, we plan once the Black Tent launches, we do plan on getting Scott Hand out here for a premiere, and that's where everything is going to be awesome with Scott at the wheel. But we got about 30 seconds here, Molly. We do appreciate you. We love you, and we thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You haven't scared you way too much. We love you, Alan, again.
Yeah, love you. Thank you so much. It was fun. I love being interviewed. I love talking about movies and all the stuff. And so, yeah, once I get going or whatever I get done first, my Mollywood or my I'm working on another screenplay, I'll call in and do and see if you guys can come out and help out.
And you were one of the smart people that gave me your phone number, and I promise I will stop calling you at 2 in the morning. Now I know what a time zone is.
Okay. All right.
All right, thanks, Molly. Have a good night.
Okay,
go
thank
ahead.
You.
No, we
you
love you, Molly.
Send me. Okay, bye.
All right. All right. I'll call you off air. We'll figure that out. We appreciate it, Molly. We love you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. All right, Molly Basler, ladies and gentlemen. We need to take a quick little timeout. We'll be back after these messages, so stick with us for our next guest. We'll be right back after this.
So, if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room, walking down the aisle, our next guest. And he is the bester around. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Christian Bester.
Hey, this is Christian Bester. You're listening to the Attitude Error, Monday Live, Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM. Your hosts are the Icon with the Big Swing, also featuring Scott the Director Hand and the Modern Nightmare, Matthias.
Hey, Christian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, we thank you for taking time out of your schedule because, you know, you're a big 6'2" guy, and we're glad that you're able to take time out of your schedule to join us. Here's what we're going to do here, Christian. We are going to we're going to have you give us a little introduction about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions, and we'll also talk about a movie that project that you and I are both involved in together. So go ahead, give us a little background about yourself.
Yeah, sure. My name is Christian Bester. I'm an actor in Boston, Massachusetts. I started acting last year, and it's been going very well. I've been involved in some nice projects, mostly horror projects, and some TV projects and all that good stuff. But, you know, I have a family. I have 4 beautiful kids and a wife, and they're very supportive and let me follow my dream. And they also love the journey that I'm going on, too.
We have Christian.
Yeah. I was in the Marine Corps before this. I was in the United States Marine Corps and didn't really pursue acting until.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
We have Christian Bessler as our guest here. We got about 27 minutes. So I'm going to ask you about some of your upcoming projects, and then we'll do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher stuff. A couple upcoming projects, and I understand if you can't talk about them because usually when they're in pre-production or post-production, you have to kind of keep it under wraps. But we have Late Night Habits. We have Vampire's Kiss. We have Terror Academy. We have Killer Pizza and a movie that you and I are both going to be involved in, Friday the 13th, Blood Loss.
Yes. Yes. And also some new ones that have been added. I just got booked for a TV show on Oxygen that will be shooting in the next in 2 weeks in New York, and it's one of those reenactment murder shows. I'll be the murderer on that. Can't really. It's season one, so I can't really go into specifics of it, but.
So it's like a TV series? I know you can't talk too much about it, but it's a weekly episodic TV series?
Yeah, I'm just, one episode. It's kind of like, Snapped or something like that. Like one of those, like, murder. Every episode is a different murder that happens, a reenactment of the murder. So I'm going to be the killer in one of those.
So kind of like an Unsolved Mysteries type thing?
Yes.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in the first episode, and then everybody's going to want you to be in the second episode. They realize that you're not in there, and then the ratings will tank. Then we'll have to find a way to get you back in, like your twin brother or something. You'll have like triplets,
I hope so. That's what happened in Breaking Bad with Jesse was only supposed to be in one episode, and being full series. Regular,
We have Christian Bessler is our guest here. Bessler is our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we will be doing a top of the hour break here in a little bit. But I do want to introduce you, Christian, to our first co-host. His name is Scott Hand. He's the greatest independent film director of our time, and I'm sure he's got a few questions. So go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Scott?
All right. How are you, Christian?
I'm great.
So are you looking forward to the being on set with Mr. Voorhees?
Yes, I am. very much am. I'm lucky enough to be Mr. Voorhees and be Mr. John Hawthorne in the movie. So,
now, did you grow up with watching the Friday the 13th movies and all?
Big horror fan, so I watched, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, everything that you can name, and it's awesome to be able to be attached to, a movie I was growing up with. My son, 6 years old, and he's like, "You're gonna be Jason." I'm like, "I'm still not letting you watch these movies."
In Blood Laws, I play the vlogger. I play one of the vloggers in that movie.
Yep. That's awesome. I can't wait for it all to wrap up and just finally see. I was with Anthony and Mandy over there for 2 weeks filming. We still have probably, another week or two of me being there. So in May, going back, but it was such a fun time.
And aren't they just great to work for and work with?
Oh yeah, it was such a fun time. Me and Anthony never knew each other before this, and I started with a smaller role, and things changed within the script. They saw, John being more involved in the movie, and it just became just a bigger role. And we had, a few people doing Jason, and I was the Jason that, comes out of the water. And I was like, just one time it was like really late at night. And I was like, hey, if you need some extra shots of Jason, I could put on his stuff. And Anthony was just like, yes. When he saw it, he's like, we found somebody different in a sense. It was so fun. It was a really good time, and I met so many great people. And it was cold. And the water sucked. We went into, when I was walking out of the water, it was like this marsh. It wasn't even like, it was this little lake, but Anthony was out there just poking, seeing where it's not too soft for me to, and it was my idea too. I was like, you need this. It was 3 a.m. It was the day that I was leaving because I was driving back to Massachusetts. And I was like, you know what, let's get the shot in. And it was a longer shot than I expected because we had to find an area. When I first went in the water, I like got sunk in. I had to find like my footing so it didn't look like Jason was like stumbling and we were like, you know.
Didn't you also say, geez, we should have done this on a warmer day?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was very cold. And it was funny because it smelled so bad. So we had my truck, we had Anthony's van over there, and Loretta, another actress, she was helping out. She was over there, and right when I got out, I just, like, went in my underwear because I was like, I can't go in my truck smelling like this. I need to throw this in the bed of my truck and go to the showers real quick. And this was, like, 3:30 in the morning.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to eventually see that on, like, a blooper reel or something on YouTube. The Christian comes out of the water with nothing on.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have Christian Besser as our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM, and we will have to take our top of the hour break here shortly, but I'm going to let our horror film guru ask you a couple questions, and then we'll
sure.
take a timeout, and he'll finish his questions. But Nightmare Matthias, what do you have for our horror film star?
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion and NSC World Tag Team Champion, and soon to be Roto's Promotion All-Weight Champion and NSC World Heavyweight Champion and honorary member of the New World Order.
Has been paid for by the New World Order.
Matthias, welcome on to my part of the program. Yes, as Icon has said, I am a big horror fan. I've been a horror fan ever since I was a young kid. So would you say that horror is your favorite type of movie, favorite genre of movie?
Yes, I would say horror is my number one, and then comedy's second. And I thought when I was going to get into acting, I would go into more comedy, but I soon quickly found out that that is not my path. I guess I thought I was funnier than I actually am, in a sense. So more of a dramatic and intense actor. So it was an awakening, which is great because I love horrors. I've loved them, and, they've sucked for so long, but the horrors really have been, like, coming back full throttle. And I remember, like, 5 years ago watching, you know, on Amazon or anything, like, these horrors. I'm like, oh, these kind of suck. And then suddenly you have these great horrors pop up, like Smile or Barbarian. And I'm like, oh, all right, it's coming back.
And that was Jason is interfering in our little conversation there. What would you say is your favorite subgenre of horror film?
You mean like thriller? Like,
yeah, like you got like the slasher films, the paranormal films, zombie films, that kind of thing.
I love I know a lot of people don't like them, but I like the Exorcist films. Like, I believe I'm going to butcher the name. I think it was The Rite with Anthony Hopkins. I thought that was one of the best exorcism films I've seen. I love Anthony Hopkins in that. That was great. And,
okay. For me, my favorite personally is the slasher films. So Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw, Halloween, and stuff like that. I don't know if we have to go to our break here. It looks like we're just about to. So my question for you to think about while we're in the break is there any style or any franchise of horror film, whether it be past, present, or even possibly future, that is coming out that you think should have died well ahead or should have quit when it was ahead or it could have continued on?
And we'll let you think about that. We'll take a quick little break, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned after this.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
And we are back here with Christian Vester. And go ahead, if you want to ask a question again, then he can answer.
Okay, so the question was, do you think that there is a series of horror film out there, whether past, present, or future, that should have quit while they're ahead technically, or that should have died off a long time ago, or is every horror film out there you think is a continuation and is good?
I have one in mind. I don't want to say it because maybe I'll be casting it one day. So I'll talk about it. One in the past. I think Paranormal, I thought that was great. And when they went, or Blair Witch Project, that was, do one, and it's awesome. It's cemented in the horror films, you know. But right now, I have one in mind. I'll be honest, I think Terrifier 2 wasn't as good as 1, and which is crazy because they had such a bigger production and a bigger budget, but Terrifier 1 was great, but you know, maybe they should have just stopped and focused on different avenues to go.
Yeah, with the Terrifier film, as you just said, sometimes the smaller budgets are better. You never know. It's just sometimes when people get all that money, sometimes they can kind of ruin what the original actually had, you know?
And then you also have a lot of, you know, different perspectives, different people just talking and saying, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And when you get a bigger budget, you have a lot of, you know, people given their opinions, where it's like, oh, just let filmmakers do their thing, you know, but we don't need to do this, we don't need to do that. There's, when you have a bigger team, sometimes a lot of times better to just have the producer, director, and the writers all just work together and not have, you know, outside Hollywood given their inputs and trying to change things. So I think that's what's hurting the industry now, is when you have something great that's coming out of the indie films, and then, you know, there are so many other people that are just jumping in and be like, oh, let me give my 2 cents. It's like, well, no, let them keep doing it. Like, they killed it. Like, let them try to do it again instead of having, you know, everyone try to give their 1-2 cent and feel like they've basically made a movie.
Exactly. Well, I'll kind of label down a couple of experiences for me personally. My very first horror film that I ever saw was Scream. And I loved that franchise up until, I've loved 1 through 6 personally myself. With 7, I hope they don't touch that anymore with Jenna Ortega the sisters being out of it, personally myself. But there's 3 specific films that I really – actually, let's go 3. So there are 3 films that I dislike and one that I'll actually never, ever, ever watch no matter what. The film that I'll never, ever see ever is the 2010 remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. Because Robert Englund is not Freddy Krueger. I will never, ever watch it. I don't care how much money you pay me. I know for a fact that they make Freddy look even worse than what he did in the original movies. Like, 'cause you know what Freddy did, but then they make him seem 10 times worse in this new one, and it's not Robert Englund, and it's just, I won't watch it. And then two movies that I thought didn't really need to be made was Child's Play, the new one with the Buddy doll, not Chucky, because it just seemed like a cash grab off of the name because they thought, oh, let's just make a new one. And then the next one, for absolutely certain, that I will never, ever watch again because I can't stand it, is Halloween Ends. I mean, Halloween, it's finally dead, but, like, for instance, I'm a pro wrestler, as Icon has said before. He said it on the show many, many times. And when it comes to a pro wrestling match, you want to get this big build-up, and you want to make the crowd into it. You want to get the crowd into it. Like, they want to see this big final fight between heaven and hell, Godzilla and King Kong or whatever. You want to see this big fight. And with you finally get 40 years difference between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, and it Michael gets killed within 2 minutes. And it just... Like, I was in the movie theater with the crowd, and they're like, is that it? Like, a lot of people went home ticked off, and I could understand because I was the same way.
Me too. You know, and that's what they try to do there. You see it with, like, even Disney movies, you know, try to remake something that was perfectly done, and they're just trying to get
money. Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah, you
have to let it be. Just like let it. There's so many movies that had just one or two, and just let it be because they were perfect. Why ruin the legacy by making a shitty bad third one? You know, excuse my language.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like with Texas Chainsaw, the original was so good. And then it, like, kind of went up and down with the films. And then after it got to, like, Chainsaw 3D and stuff like that, it's like, no, we don't need a Texas Chainsaw 3D. And we don't need to continue on. Like, come on.
Right.
And, let's Halloween. Go ahead.
No, just, like, let's think of something.
It's
great.
Original.
It's just, yeah, exactly.
Because there's so many people that just want the I've admitted this too, people will go see the new film just because it has that name and it's trying to take off on the series. And like I said, with that 2010 remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, I already know I'll never go see it. I'll never watch it. DVD, nope. Like a friend gave it to me as a DVD and I have it in my collection, but I'm never going to watch it. Because I already know, because Robert Englund, like, made such an impact on the character, and he was Freddy Krueger, and now all of a sudden they're giving it to a new guy, and it's like, no, absolutely not. Yeah. Or, like, some people prefer a Jason actor over the other. Like, for instance, some people will prefer, for me, I prefer Kane Hodder. I like him as Jason. Other people will disagree and will pick this guy. So it's just a strong, opinionated a group of people in some of those horror movies, and it's been a pleasure to talk to people about that, especially people like yourself with such horror knowledge. And so, what is one director?
Also,
go ahead.
I'm sorry,
I couldn't hear you.
Jeepers Creepers was one of my favorite movies growing up when I was younger, fortunate enough, some of my headshots were done by Bobby Quinn, who is good friends with the original Jeepers Creepers. He was in 1 and 2.
Wow.
Forget his name, the actor that portrayed Jeepers Creepers. But, you know, it was a low-budget. Jeepers Creepers was actually a low-budget film. There's a big history that happened with it, some scandals, and, you know, it got defunded. But they still made it, and it was, I thought it was one of the best. I watched that, like, 10 times within that first year that it came out. I thought it was amazing.
I think Victor Salva is his name. Is that the person you're talking about?
Yes. So my headshot photographer, he's great, good friends with him.
Okay.
It was actually, I had my headshots done the day before I was going to film Friday the 13th, Blood Loss. I was actually going in the car and driving to New York to film from Boston. He was taking my headshots in Boston, and he was telling me all about that, and I was like, that's awesome. You know,
wow.
That's,
and then
yeah.
My last question that I'm going to give to you, because Icon, I know, wants to hop back in here. My last question to you is there been a scene in any horror movie or any horror series or anything like that, that even to this day, that if you watch it, like, you may get a little jump or maybe a little look away, or so you might get a little queasy in your stomach? Is there any scene that'll do that for you?
It's hard to say. I'm very thick when it comes to that. But I would actually say it would be Jeepers Creepers when he goes like the smell. It's just so creepy. It's just like, I'm like, oh, I think that was when I first watched it. I was like, oh, that's
okay. Yeah, mine would be. Are you familiar with the Hatchet series? I'm pretty sure you are.
No. Oh, the Hatchet.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Yeah. With Victor Crowley and stuff. So.
Yep.
My jaw locks up frequently, and you know, like when you like you open your mouth too wide and your jaw locks up,
yep.
And you got to pop it back down or whatever. Well,
yep.
I watched the original Hatchet, and it's the second kill in the movie. When Victor Crowley first gets shown, and it's the older couple that are right next to his house, and it's the female, the wife, after he chops down the old man, he chases and catches up to the older woman, puts his hands in her mouth, and just pulls her jaw apart and pulls her head in half. And I'm just like, and it's like, I feel that at a point because he's got her to the limit, and then you slowly see the cheeks rip. And it's just like, oh, it's like I can almost feel that. You know, I can just feel my skin tear a little bit. But it's just like it's such good effects. Like there's one thing with Rob Savini stuff. It's just it's the effects that make it for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's with all horrors. You know, the good thing about the horrors that are indies nowadays is the special effects can be done so well, you know.
Absolutely.
Not like back in the day, you could really get into like somebody like his jaw, you know, somebody's jaw breaking. You can make that real if you have somebody that's good at special effects and also CGI when it comes to, you know, certain things, which makes it much easier for, you know, our genre in the indie films to get noticed, where it doesn't look like, you know, the 1970s, like somebody breaking their arm, breaking their arm, you know, ripped off, and it just looks fake.
Yeah. The one thing I got to give it to is with special effects is Tom Savini. He was one of the best effect directors out there. With his practical effects, one of my favorites, just because, you know, and zombie movies, they do relatively well with that kind of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
one of my favorites, and I'll before Icon jumps on, my favorite one would be from Day of the Dead when the guy, Captain Rhodes, I think is his name, he gets ripped in half by the zombies, and they drag his legs away, and he just goes, choke on him, as he's slowly getting eaten alive. It was just classic. And it's with the viscera and the actual guts they used, like apparently the freezer broke and the smell was in there, but they pulled it through, and I'm just like, I don't even know if I could do that. That's just gross.
Okay. You see that they're doing 28 years later?
You what?
They're filming that. They're filming 28 years later now?
Oh, yes, I did hear about that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Christian Besser's our guest here. We got about 60 seconds here. If our fans want to check you out and see you, Christian, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Yeah, I have my Instagram. I just started to actually do stuff with it. It's Christian Bester 1. My IMDb, Christian Bester. Look at all the projects that I'm attached to now. Also, you can friend me on Facebook, Christian Bester, KrystianBester, Bester, BESTER.
All right. And, you know, I don't know if this ever happened to you, Christian, but have you ever been at like a luncheon or a dinner or something, and, you know, the pastor goes up and does the location, and then he sits right next to you, and then the host of the show says, hey, Father, how does it feel to be sitting next to a Christian? Has that ever happened to you?
No, it has not.
All right, well, maybe eventually that might happen. Something to shoot for, you know? I mean,
it was a funny thing with, so I've been with Mark Francis. He was actually involved in Blood Loss as well, and he's a director, and he's filming some great movies. We just did a short in Naples, Florida, and I was a priest over there, and he has this great feature-length film called Hello? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then we're doing a feature-length film this summer as well, and it's going to be big. It's Southern Death Cult, and it's about four brothers that aren't really brothers, but they're very, very bad people, and it's going to make some waves.
Well, I'll tell you what, when that comes out, we'd love to have you back on, and we would love to help you promote that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it would be, that would be great. You guys have been awesome, and thank you so much for having me on.
Well, yeah, we love you, man. We want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. You are awesome, and we will definitely have you on again. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Thank you. And just, you know, look out for Blood Loss. Look out for Killer Pizza. Look out for Mark Francis stuff. You know, Southern Death Cult, that's going to be huge. And the short is going to come out probably in 2 weeks. It's called A Vampire's Kiss. I'm a priest in it at the beginning, and it's a good short. So.
And then for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that on Facebook. Do a $10 a month donation, Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win a autographed picture from past guests, current guests, and future guests. And I do believe, Christian, you have sent us a few, or you are going to send us a few, I think.
I just did yesterday. I'm so sorry. I had some my headshots came in and half my head was cut off, so I wasn't going to send those to you. So.
Oh, okay. Well, those would be like air cards then.
But you will get those, and anyone that wants any, just please let you know, and I'll send whoever wants any.
I appreciate you, Christian. Thank you so much, bud. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Christian Bester, ladies and gentlemen. We're waiting for our next guest to call in. It'll be Lisa Kate, and we're trying to get a hold of her, and hopefully she'll call in soon. Matthias, I think you love it when you have these horror people on.
Well, yes, like I said, it's always a pleasure being able to talk with somebody that has relative, if not extravagant, horror knowledge. And,
yes,
you know, it's so much fun getting to talk to people that know the genre that you grew up with. And it's like with wrestlers, too. You know, you get to talk to people about their stories or what they've learned. And it's like horror movies, you know, you get to talk to them about what they know or what they don't know, or talk to them about their favorite scenes, stuff like that. It's always fun.
Hey,
and, I
wanted to just say real fast, I agree with everything you said about Halloween Ends. I felt the same. I felt sucker punched when I saw that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that movie, without a doubt. It's like, I always say this, too, when I
horrible.
Talk to horror people. Well, because here's the thing, too. It's like everyone said Halloween kills, They said, evil dies tonight. So everybody's like, okay, is this the final end? You know, we've had the 2018 film, and he got trapped in the house. Now he's going to come back. Is he finally going to die at the hands of Laurie Strode? No. Laurie got put in the hospital. She stayed there all film, and then Michael comes back after a 30-person beatdown, slaughters everybody, and comes back. But the only reason I knew that going into the film was because some idiot, I don't know who it was, I don't know how this got out there, but a poster for Halloween Ends already came out before Halloween Kills went out into the theaters. It already got leaked that there was another Halloween movie coming out next year.
Right.
It's kind of like on a wrestling match where they give away the finish before the match happens.
That I have not seen, but if that happened, I would be very upset about it. But, yeah, in regards to that whole Halloween thing, I sat there and I was in a nice group of people. Like, the theater was packed. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're watching it, and this whole Corey scene happened in the beginning. It's like, okay, what are they doing? And then Michael Myers just looked like this withered old man who just was on the brink of death. And it's like,
and
okay, Michael
does.
Yeah, he's hardly in the movie. He looked weak. The Corey guy comes and beats him up and takes his mask, even though Michael literally just came back from a 30-person beatdown in the previous movie. And then all of a sudden, here comes Michael getting his revenge. He finally got, you know, the energy to go kill Corey and eliminate him, and now all of a sudden it's Michael versus Laurie, and it was like, okay, how great is this going to be? Two moves, Michael's dead, puts in a shredder, game over. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
40 years for
horrible.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
It's like that. It was just awful. Just the worst thing.
It was.
And I was like, and it's like, it's like, really? It's like, after all of that, you put Michael through resurrection and 40 or 20 years later, you had him get beat up by Busta Rhymes. Then you had Rob Zombie take for his movies, which was okay. And then you're like, okay, we're going to make a 2018 version. Okay, that went over well, I would say, pretty good.
With the real mask.
And then all of a sudden you what?
With the real mask for a change.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
with a real
mask. They weren't using the real mask in many of them.
No. And I think in Halloween 5, there was like a CGI mask and a pink mask, and it was just like, come on, just let the mask age. But then they, in 2018, they finally made it. It went over decent. Halloween Kills comes out, blows, in my opinion. And then Halloween Ends just kind of just put it down on the pavement and put it out of its misery.
Agreed. I agree.
And it's like, and I compare it, too, to, like, a lot of other franchises. It's like, I'll put this one out there, like Scream, for instance. The Scream films were a constant whodunit. It's my favorite series. I don't think I could ever hate on one. But if they make a seventh film, I'm going to be upset. Like, I'm going to be bothered by it because now the Carpenter sisters aren't in it. The only person that would probably be in it was Gail Weathers, which I hope, honestly, I wanted her to die in number six because Dewey died in five. Why not kill her off in six? And if at anything, if there was going to be a seven, kill Sydney off and then make the series done. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that, what's it, Saw? What number are they up to with Saw now?
Oh, I was going to, and that was actually my main thing, but I actually went to Scream. Saw X is what they're actually up in. They're in 10 now, and they're actually going to make an 11th or 12th film.
Why?
Wow. Well, because, and here's the thing, and everybody asks that question. Everybody asks that question, like, oh, it's just beating a dead horse. That is false, because from Saw 1 to Saw the final chapter was one long story, and that was the best thing about it. The Saw franchise has the best story of all time, in my opinion. One of the best.
So if there's 10 of them, when is the final chapter?
Well, they nicknamed it, they wanted it to be the final chapter because and it was the final chapter in all reality. It was the final chapter of that original storyline. And then they went to Jigsaw, which was a film prior to the original Saw film, so they had a game play out before the even original Saw film came out, technically. So it was a prequel to the original Saw. Then they had Spiral. For some ungodly reason, they wanted to make a film based on the Saw films that had nothing to do with the Saw franchise. And then after that, they finally go to Saw X, which is actually a film in between Saws 2 and 3, where John Kramer is the actual main character. And that was the one thing they did exceptionally well with X. They made John Kramer the main focus of the film up until he found out his diagnosis. He went to this place to get his treatment. They, quote-unquote, they screwed him. They took his money. And then he finally got in this revenge game, and that's it. Like, the game, the whole trap stuff didn't happen until the last half of the film, which was good. And then John Kramer was the focus the entire time, and that's what really put Saw X over. And now they're building an 11th film because of a new character who got introduced, and they're going to see where they take it from there.
You know, real quick here, a little update, guys. Our third guest here, we're waiting, Lisa Kate. She is in the UK, so, of course, everybody knows that listen to the show. Time zones are not my strong suit, but we had it all figured out. And I believe the UK is 5 hours behind us, whatever it is. So hopefully she'll still call in. If not, we have about 29 minutes left of the show here before the theme song hits. So we'll just kind of fill time here. We'll talk about this, Matthias, real quick. You know, you've been, and we're going to save most of the juicy stuff for tomorrow.
Yep.
But I want to kind of give people a little preview of what they can expect when we do have you on at Icon Power Hour Plus. We plan to talk about the event, what led up to the booking of the event, what happened the day before the event, the day of the event, before you went out on the match, during the match, what happened after the match, and what has been transpiring as you were leaving the arena, and what has happened since then, and all that stuff. And basically, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you are basically going to let loose and cut a major promo on the individual. We're not going to say it now, because we want people to tune in tomorrow, and that's on from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Modern Nightmare Matthias will be talking about this with the Big Swing, the Icon, and Luke DeMuse, who's my other co-host on that show. And what else might they be you wanted to talk about during that episode?
Well, you know, as you kind of just explained, it'll be everything leading up to and after the injury. We can go into specific details, like you said, tomorrow. You can ask me specific questions about it then and there. But basically we'll talk about the injury that nearly killed my career. And I could talk about several injuries that I've had throughout my career, some severe, some not so severe. I'll talk about promotions and groups that I'm no longer associated with. I mean, if we want to make this an hour-and-a-half-long show about, you know, the injury and my career leading up to it and stuff like that, I'd be more than willing to share any details that are questioned, or if a person that's watching it asks a question, I'm more than willing to answer it.
We have enough to fit an hour-and-a-half.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have plenty. I mean, I've been in the business for 11 years now. The things I've experienced, the things that I've done, the injuries I've procured, the stories I can tell are just are definitely strange ones, and some good, some bad. But like I said, we'll save all that for tomorrow evening.
Awesome. And then Scott, you know, you've been absent the last couple weeks too. I know that you were you were ill and all that. And if we can, would you if you can. Can you kind of fill us in about the black tent and where we are at proceeding with that process, or do you have to keep that under wraps at this time?
It's not that it's under wraps. It's just everything's still, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. Our producer, Craig Atkinson, he really kind of is looking – he wants to get, like, a pre-sale deal. He doesn't want to get into a situation like we have with Lake Hayen, where we went out and we filmed the movie. We didn't have a distribution deal in place beforehand because we have a completed motion picture that, you know, we're looking for distribution for right now. So it's going to cost, Black Tent's going to cost a lot more money, and it's going to have a lot of set construction, as you know. And, you know, I'm going for a Tim Burton vibe. So, you know, we're colored lightings. You know, I've done that pretty much in most of my films, except for this comedy that I just did. So, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to report because I think until Craig and I find, you know, a distributor that is interested in the project, it's sort of just, you know, it's sort of in limbo, you know, is what we're at right now. You know, so I think we will find someone, but, you know, we're still working on it.
Well, would it be safe to say that you are going to want to, you are willing to do anything you need to do to get this thing done and made?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to make this sound like me or anything like that, so my fans are listening, relax. But, you know, I'm doing everything I can to help things get along as well. I'm going to be in the film. It's also because I think that this could be the start, the launch of something big between Scott mm-hmm. Hand and the Icon. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah, we've already had, you and I have had some talks about some other projects that you and I would like to do that we both agree on.
Right. You know, and, you know, I think, you know, and like I say, I have several ideas. Some mm-hmm. may be good, some may be not so good, some may be like, what made you think of that, or are you kidding? Stuff like that. I mean, I'm an idea guy, and
I know.
Mm-hmm. The one thing, my dream here at the moment is to find a way that we can get you down here and have a premiere featuring you, whether it be a film that you enter in whatever, one of the local film, whatever it is. That's what I like to be able to do, is get you down here so you can see, and the whole world can see, and the town of Fargo can see that, you know, the Icon does have some pretty famous friends, and that's what we're working on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally down for it. I think, you know, you and I, we have to get on a Zoom meeting probably. If you have time next week, shoot me your days and times you have available, and you and I will schedule a Zoom meeting and start brainstorming some things. This way we can, you know, talk to each other, you know, directly.
Right.
On business.
Well, next week, you know, I'll be very occupied with the film festival, but we can probably, you know, get together, like, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know what your weekend schedule is, but maybe we can do something like that.
Yeah,
on,
even
like
this weekend
Sunday.
Should be fine. Yeah, yeah. You shoot me your schedule, cool. What your availability is this weekend.
All right. And then, Matthias, we'll go back to you. Basically, like I say, we have to...
I want to talk some more horror with him, too.
Well, yeah, we can do that in just a little bit. You know, because basically we're slated for 2 hours, and it's not like it used to be. If one of our guests flaked off, we could just say, okay, we'll see y'all next week. Goodbye, everybody. We can't do that. We have to fulfill our obligation. Now, Matthias, you know, you have been still wrestling, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, now with wrestling, I have to wear 2 layers of horse wrap on my knee. So basically what happens is I have to go to a farm store, a tractor supply, I think it is, and I pick up this horse wrap that when, like, a horse gets an injury or something, they wrap it around its leg to keep its bone in place.
Kind of like a Stone Cold thing?
Yeah, exactly. I got to do that, and then I put on a brace over my knee and over my gear, and then I go out with 2 braces on both my knees.
Is it hard to wrestle with a brace, or do you find it easier?
Well, you know, it's when your knee is actually working like it's supposed to, it makes it easier to, you know, free move around, but the brace keeps it more constrained, keeps it in place where it needs to be. So, I mean, I've gotten used to it over the year that it's been going on. So, I mean, just in case now, because of how bad it is, until I get surgery, it's going to be the way it is. I mean, I can't make it 100% until I get a surgery done. So till the day I stop wrestling, I'm going to be wearing braces and horse wrap and stuff like that every time I go out in the ring.
Now, do you like the Stone Cold thing? Do you wear your braces outside of your wrestling uniform?
Yes.
Or are you like Bret Hart? He used to wear it inside, so you didn't even know that he was wearing it.
Well, with the specific braces that I have, it's best that they are outside of the gear, only because then if one of the metal things becomes unhinged, it won't tear my gear and it won't really hurt me. So if it were to like pop out of place, I could adjust it on the fly or whatever needs to get done. So I prefer it outside.
And not going too far in the weeds, but because we want to save most of the stuff for tomorrow. But do you feel that with these braces and everything, do you feel that when you're wrestling that you don't like trust your legs like you used to do?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't. Only because, and we were talking about that with actually a previous wrestler that was on, I think, about a month ago. What happens is once you injure yourself in that ring, it's more of a very, very, very strong mental game that you're afraid that it's going to go out again. So you're doing anything and everything that you can to make sure you don't get injured again. And it will affect your moveset. It'll affect the way you run ropes. It'll change up everything. Everything that I used to do has been completely flip-flopped. So now I've had to adjust to doing a whole different moveset. I've been working on my strength as much as I can, but I have to wear the braces and the horse wrap. Otherwise, my kneecap will explode and go out of place again. And if it does that, then it's just going to keep doing that until I get surgery.
Now, is there certain moves like you just kind of touched on? Is there certain moves that you don't do anymore, or you just you want to do but can't?
Well, I mean, I loved doing suplexes. I don't do those much anymore due to the fact that I can't really sustain a bunch of weight on my knee at one time. I used to do a double-handed sit-out choke slam. That was my finisher at the time, but I can't do that anymore because unless it's a smaller individual, I mean, I possibly could, but if I can't pick them up high enough, then I can't pick them up, put them against me, and then throw them down on their back, and I sit out with it. So that's more difficult. I'll have to try it when I do some training. I'm going to try to do that again. And choke, like I said, the double-handed sit-out choke slam, and I do a lot of sidewalk slams, which I have been really meticulous about doing. I'm very, very cautious about it because, again, and I won't do another body slam. That is one thing I will not do unless it's somebody I know I could just pick up off the ground super easily, because if they weigh more than me and I try it and they're not trained properly or they make one mistake, there goes my knee again.
And when you're wrestling, you know, you have they are your opponent, but technically when you're wrestling, they're also your partner because they have to protect you and you have to protect them.
Yep, that's the golden rule of pro wrestling. You protect your partner and your partner protect each other out in that ring because I'm just going to say this straight out loud to people, because I've seen this happen, and this is very serious. One move goes wrong, that's your life. One move goes wrong, that's a broken neck, that's a broken leg, that's a broken arm, that's a punctured lung, that's a heart attack, that's a concussion, that's your life. Like, one move goes wrong, and I repeat, one move, and you could be dead. And I always go into that ring, and I'm always as safe as possible, but accidents and injuries will occur. But you know, some could be as severe as losing your life. And that's one thing about the pro wrestling industry that scares a lot of people, but it's like, that's why you do training every day and you constantly are learning and you constantly are training, because unless you're trained, you don't deserve, in my opinion, you don't deserve to be out there. If you have no training whatsoever, if you have nothing underneath your belt, don't even step in the ring. Because I've seen this where people want to get in the ring and they want to try something, And I saw this guy one time. He's like, oh, let me try to run the rope or hit the rope. I'm like, okay. He broke his ankle just turning around, shattered his ankle, hasn't stepped foot in the ring again. And it's like, because you have to be careful. You have to have your training or else anything can happen.
Now, has any of, since the injury, you know, and you have, you know, you'll never fully recover, like you said. But has there ever been a situation like because of your injury that people did not want to step in the ring with you, either feel of getting hurt themselves or them hurting you?
I mean, it's been that way where, you know, and it's like, and I don't want to be a special case in that it's like, oh, we don't want to hurt you. You know, I won't step in the ring with you. It's like you signed the contract to go out there and you fight. If I'm good enough to wrestle, I know what I can and can't do. And I'm going to make sure that you're safe and I'm safe. I have never had somebody come up to me and go, oh, I'm afraid of hurting you. Because here's the thing. You can't be afraid to hurt somebody. You just have to be as careful as possible. You have to be very careful. Like, we're going to go out there and we're going to legit hit each other. And we're going to legit hurt each other. But we're going to be as safe as possible while doing it. Because if I give somebody a German suplex and I don't know how to give a German suplex that well, that could break their neck. Or if they want to give me a specific move that I'm not familiar with, or they try giving me something that's dangerous to me, I'll reverse them. I won't allow it. So I've never had that experience yet, even with my knees, because they've seen me do my work out there. They know I work my butt off out there. I've lost blood, sweat, and tears in that ring, and I will be one of the best opponents you'll ever have, but I'm also going to destroy you and beat you. So, I mean, I'll embarrass you, but I'll make you look good.
Well, you know, and one thing about Matthias, and, you know, we've talked about this as wrestling fans, and we'll get Scott back in here. But, you know, one thing about being a wrestler, and, you know, we've talked about this, how people say, oh, that's phony, that's fake, this and that. But, you know, firsthand, being injured, bad stuff can happen in that ring, and it's not – all, it's not ballet, as they say, and people can get hurt, and it's not fake.
Yeah, that is the absolute one word that I will never allow anybody to say to me, and that is the F word, fake. I will never let anybody come up to me and say that, because if they do, I will slap them, I will punch them, I will chop them, I'll be like, all right. It was like this, too. One of the last shows I had to hurt somebody because they claimed that it was all an act. And I'm like, okay, well, take off your shirt. Let me give you a couple. And his chest, I think, almost bled. And I'm like, yep, that's what it's like. Don't even try it. And I'll tell this one story here because this is a funny story, but it's also one that actually really ticked me off. And I'll save the rest for tomorrow, but so I'm in Green Bay, Wisconsin, wrestling at a tequila festival in front of 1,400 people. And we have a low boy ring, which means I'm taller than the actual ring. But after the show, there's these people that are around, and, you know, they're watching us tear down the ring. And this one guy bulks up and says, oh, that's just a bunch of fake garbage. I bet that's a trampoline, isn't that? And I looked at the guy, and I was standing in the ring, and he was behind the barricade. I'm like, get your, you know, your A word in this ring, and we'll show you what this is. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, you're chicken. And I said a lot of explicitives, and I'm not going to repeat those. I'll do those tomorrow. But I'm like, you know, get in the ring. We'll show you what this is. And then his girlfriend got in. And I'm like, yeah, let's show your girlfriend a good time because apparently you can't because you're chicken to get in this ring. And we showed her some stuff, and she thought it was really cool, and then he got mad and walked away, and then she ended up having to go after him. But it's like, yeah, this is no game. When people want to come up to me and say this is the F word, it's fake or it's whatever, it's like, all right, let me give you something because I have injured my neck, my back, my knees. I've counted 16 concussions. Minor to all three levels of concussions. I've had very minimal concussions to a severe, like I cannot go to sleep or else I could die concussions. And I've had many, many injuries, and people want to say it's like, I'll show you the scars, the bumps, the bruises, the broken bones, the doctor reports, the surgeries I'm going to have because of this. And yeah, as they say in the WWE thing, yes, this is entertainment, but the hazards are real. Some of it may be choreographed, some of it may be predetermined, but there is nothing fake about what we do inside that squared circle.
Right, and with that being said, I'm really looking forward to the interview tomorrow, and it's going to be a barn burner. And then, of course, in 3 weeks, because like I say, we'll be taking off the next Tuesday after that. But the Icon cuts loose. There's been a lot of things I've wanted to say for a long time about high school, and you know, it took a little bit of realization about some things that have happened over the last several years that I've dealt with, and I tried to put them out of my mind. And unfortunately, it's time I speak out. Maybe some people say, well, maybe speaking out about it will be the best for you. And I guess we'll see. But like I say, I'm not going to hold anything back. There's a lot of things about a few different people I want to talk about. And like I say, that's going to be in 3 weeks. So don't miss that. And like I say, it's all going to be really fun. So anywho, Scott, I know you're still there with us. You know, in your experience, you know, when you first decided, I don't think we've ever really talked about this. We got about 14 minutes here left. I don't think we've ever really talked about this. When you decided that you wanted to become a director and get into the business, so to speak, what was your main, if any, hesitancy about pushing forward and doing this in your career?
Well, the thing of it was, I knew I wanted to do this back in April of 1993 when I was in college. I was lucky enough to get a telephone interview with Anthony Hickox, who passed away about 6 months ago. And he had directed Waxwork Sundown, Waxwork 2, Hellraiser 3. And at the time, he was in post-production with Warlock the Armageddon. And he was telling me all the problems he was having with the MPAA in order to get the R rating. And we had such a great conversation. And, in fact, before I got to him, I had gotten a number, which I thought was his, but it wasn't. And I actually got his mother on the phone. And his mother, Ann V. Kutz, was the Academy Award-winning film editor of Lawrence of Arabia. So after that night, I knew I wanted to write and direct movies, you know, especially horror movies, because that was my thing. You know, I used to collect Fangoria and all. So... But, you know, back in those days, you know, you had to have, like, $200,000 just to get started. Because you had to rent the film equipment just from certain places. Everything was 35-millimeter film. You had to get, you know, 100 rolls of them, you know. And, you know, it was different. You know, it's very different now without 35-millimeter film. And now you can, you know, easily, you know, buy things on Amazon.com at a fraction of the cost of what, you know, it would be back then. Of course, you can still rent this stuff. So the only hesitation through the years was just, you know, being able to get the connections. And I was young. I was only, what, 21 at the time. So, I mean, I did sit down. I had ideas. I had to go back to, you know, class to learn how to be a screenwriter and all, which I did. And, you know, then once I did that, I started to do, you know, local documentaries that we used to screen over here at Crest Pier. And they were well-received. So that was kind of a launch pad, and then I started to get some people together, and then, you know, I had met Andrew Boylan, who was an aspiring filmmaker locally as well, and we got together, and I told him I wanted to do a Jersey Devil picture. That was the one I'd been working on for a while. So I took my feature-length script, and I turned it into a micro-budget short film, you know, Lost in the Night, which is only like 28 minutes. And we went out, and we filmed it, and we cut it together. You know, we've gotten it out there. And, you know, then I was working on getting the Black Tent together. You know, I'd written the script 5 years ago. You know, I'd written about 3 or 4 scripts at the same time, believe it or not. And that was the first one. That was the one I was pushing forward because I figured that one there, we could do it without a crazy budget. You know what I mean? It wouldn't cost millions of dollars or anything like that to make it. But, you know, the people at the time weren't, you know, it all comes down to the right people at the right time at the right place, you know?
So it didn't happen, and, you know, then I was working on some other stuff. I started another picture with some other people, and that one didn't really work out too well. And then, of course, I bounced back with Lycaon, and, you know, just a couple of months ago, we filmed Five Losers on a Line. So that's kind of been the journey, you know, so far, you know, and it's been always, you know, trying to get the black tent, you know, together, which we've gotten close a couple of times, and we're closest right now. You know, I mean, we're probably in the best shape we've ever been, but, you know, like I said, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Craig really would like to see some sort of interest from a distribution arm before he, you know, pushes forward through, you know, doing the financing and all.
And, you know, the interesting thing that you say that is, like, that's probably, you know, doing the project is not what takes the time. It's getting sponsorship and everything, getting all that stuff together, right?
Yeah. It's time-consuming. It really is. You know, and you need people. You know, it's hard to be a one-man show. You know, if you're going to, you know, go running out there as the producer and you're going to be writing all the drafts of the script because, you know, chances are if you're a halfway decent, you know, filmmaker, you're not going to write, you know, one or maybe a second draft and say, oh, yeah, okay, let's go. You know, you're going to write and rewrite, and you're going to constantly find things that you think can be better and dialogue that should be more crisp, you know, and, yeah, you end up driving yourself crazy, believe it or not. I know I do, you know.
You know,
I was watching
go ahead.
It was a Q&A with John Carpenter. I want to tell you, it's a Q&A with John Carpenter. It's interesting, and they asked him, because he's one of my favorite directors, and he said he has a hard time watching any of his movies now because when he looks at them, he's always – looking at, like, why did I shoot from this angle? Why did I have them say this? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? You know, and it's kind of the same way. I'm finding myself in the same boat. I look at Lost in Light, and I'm like, oh, I wish I'd done it a little different here, a little different there. You know, and even with Lycaon, I'm like, oh, if only we had done this and done that, you know. I think, you know, if you're, like I said, if you're a halfway decent filmmaker, I think you're always feeling that you can make the picture better.
You know, I was going to ask. You know, we got about 6 minutes here before our theme song hits. Did either of you guys watch the Oscars last night?
I did not.
Do you guys know something interesting happened last night?
Oh,
Robert
yeah.
Downey Jr. won. I heard that.
Right. Well, how about John Cena presenting the award not wearing a stitch of clothing except a watch and a pair of sandals?
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that. That's been going around the Facebook and internet world all day, pretty much.
You know, I hate to say this, but that's something I just didn't really want to see. I mean, I like John Cena, but I prefer him dressed like, as The Rock would say, a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, not like a Ken doll.
Yeah, that there's just some things you just don't do, and that's one of them.
you know, and the cool thing about also the film is all my predictions came true. I said that Oppenheimer was going to clean up, and it did. And I thought that was an awesome deal that it did clean up like it did. Have either of you guys seen that?
Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
I've been wanting to for a while. I just haven't gotten the time
same
to do
here.
It.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be a spoiler. But, you know, generally with a movie like that, you pretty much know what's going to happen. But it's all, you know, how they do it. The other interesting thing is, and like I say, as long as we're talking about movies here and we got to fill time, there was another interesting event that happened last night, and this leads into a guest that we're going to have on April 1st. I want to let you guys know, I usually don't promote what we got coming up, but on April 1st, we have Catherine Pacino coming on with us, who happens to be Al Pacino's stepmom.
Wow.
And Al Pacino was the presenter of the Best Picture Award, and he made a little error last night. He, instead of reading all the nominees, he just read the winner, which has never happened before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And also April 1st, and we're going to have Michael Gandolfini on with us, who is James Gandolfini's son.
Okay.
And
this is no April Fool, right?
right. And this is one you might know, Matthias. We're going to have Jessica Salt on as well. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
And who might that be?
Jessica Salt. I mean, the name sounds familiar, but give me 1 second here. If I could put a name to a face, 1 second here. Okay, well, it's not giving me the exact name that I'm looking for, but
well, I'll tell you, she had a father who, he wasn't a very famous guy, but her father's name was Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, Jesus! Yes, that's right, Mike. Wow, I cannot believe I completely dodged that bullet. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wow. Oh, cool.
So we're gonna have relatives of famous people April 1st. Now, people are. I know what you're thinking. April 1st. Oh, that's April Fool's Day. You're really not. Yes, we are going to have all three of those people here. And that's in about a couple weeks. So it's going to be awesome.
No April Fool.
Yeah, it is not an April Fool's Day joke. They are all going to be. They're all scheduled to be here. They've all agreed to be here. Here's the reason why I usually don't promote what's going to happen next week, the weekend, whatever. What is one of the famous things in the wrestling business, Matthias?
Card subject to change.
Exactly. And, I actually learned that from a friend of ours, Eric Bischoff. If you watch Monday Night Raw, they'd always say, hey, here's what's going to happen next week. Eric Bischoff never, ever did that. The reason why is he wanted people to say they would have to tune in to find out what was going to happen. You couldn't read it in a TV guide.
Exactly. Like they never prelimmed to what was coming on next week. So it's like, oh, I don't want to watch that match. I'm okay with not watching that match. There, it was just fully live crash TV. You never know what's going to happen.
And the other thing about that is November 25th, 2024, is when you and I are going to issue a challenge. And we're gonna talk. We talked about this before. We're going to hit on a little bit. I got a couple minutes here. You and I are going to issue a challenge. We're going to have Conrad Thompson on. You know who that is?
Absolutely.
He's got a guy he does a show with who very well.
Yep.
Who you would like to get back in the ring with.
Yep.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to initiate a little challenge with Mr. Conrad Thompson. We're going to have him see if he'll have one of his co-hosts on his one of his shows as his tag team partner. I know who you want it to be.
Yep.
And we'll see if they will man up, because I have an issue. You have an issue with Eric Bischoff. I don't have a problem with the guy. He might end up becoming my neighbor one year. But the biggest guy I have an issue with is Tony Schiavone.
Okay.
They cut a promo on me on one of their shows, they used the F word on me. And I want a little piece of Tony Schiavone.
Absolutely.
And we'll see if we can set up the whole deal on their they have their little wrestling thing. We'll see if we can't set up a match with you and I against Conrad Thompson, an opponent of his choice. I don't care who it is. I think we can take him.
Well, I mean, when we had Eric Bischoff on here a while back, I actually did issue an open challenge to him for a tag match to come back to Below Zero, and he actually did accept it. I said me and Sylvester J. Fox, or me and one of the guys from Sly's guys, would take him on with Mason Mayhem. So it would be him and Mason Mayhem versus one of the Sly's guys. But if we're going to reissue a new challenge for that, let's do it, and let's get
right.
It done.
Well, we got to get out of here. Remember, it's not goodbye. It's just goodnight. Love each other. Care for each other. Be with us every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on 89.1 Ken's FM. See you all next week.
Yeah. things you don't say. Good luck.